For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for this great truth in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Lord, I pray that it is an encouragement and a challenge to us all during this time. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I've been speaking over the last few Sundays since we've been going online with service. Good thoughts about, you know, the size of your heart, the giants, things like that. But I want to talk to you about this morning our thought life. The toxic thoughts that can come in our minds at times. Let me begin with a self-test. I want you to ask yourself four questions. Think about your thoughts this morning and answer these four questions. The first question is this. Do you battle with negative thoughts about yourself, other people, or life in general? Do you battle with negative thoughts about yourself, other people, or life in general? Second question. Are you often consumed with fearful, worrisome thoughts, putting your faith in bad things happening rather than good? Here's a third question. Do you find yourself discontented, always wishing life were different or better? Here's the fourth question. Are you occasionally or often critical, finding something wrong with a lot of people, a lot of places, or a lot of things? If you answered yes to one or more of these questions, your life is being infected by toxic thoughts. You are losing the battle of the mind. These negative, toxic thoughts are false beliefs about ourselves. One of the greatest stumbling blocks to spiritual growth, to a spirit of contentment, to a spirit of thanksgiving. It emerges when we get stuck in our negative, untrue, and impure thoughts instead of going to and focusing on Christ and His Word. We lose momentum because we get tired of trying harder and feeling hopeless. I'm convinced this morning when left to our own negative thoughts, we lose sight of the spiritual truth that can set us free. Why is that? Let me give you a quote I heard this week from Dr. Tony Evans. I really like this quote. He says this, if you're feeling sorry for yourself, and if you're talking to yourself, that is a bad conversation for yourself. You're already feeling sorry and there is nobody to talk to but you regarding you to tell you what you ought to do, and you're not even in a place to hear you correctly. Because of this, so many of us refuse to push through the clutter and the clamor of negative thinking and false beliefs that can bombard us. From my personal study of God's Word, from my own observations and from personal experience, and the shared experience of others in the ministry, I've identified four specific kinds of toxic thoughts in way of introduction that can poison our minds. The first one of those thoughts is pessimism. That usually produces chronically negative thoughts. If you answered yes to the first question, do you battle with chronically negative thoughts about yourself, others, life in general, then you struggle with pessimism. Maybe in your self-talk, you tell yourself, I don't have what it takes. No matter how hard I try, I'll never get ahead. No matter what I do, I'll always get the short end of the stick. My life's always going to stink. Maybe perhaps you are overwhelmed with too much to do. No matter how hard you work, there's always more. Maybe you have a lot on your plate and your negative thoughts just compound the problem. I can't do it all. And it could be the negative thought patterns, that pessimism surfaces in the more mundane little things of life. You find yourself complaining without realizing it's the little things in your day. Even if a grain of truth exists in a particular thought, where you plant the seed determines where and how it will grow. And if you let weeds grow in a garden of your mind too long, it's going to choke out the truth. Here's a second negative thought, anxiety. We talked about pessimism. But if you answer the yes to the second question, are you consumed with fearful, worrisome thoughts? Always putting your faith in bad things. You struggle with anxiety, fear of future. A close cousin to negative pessimistic thinking is worry, fearful thinking. You could probably even quote the verse, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Though your thought life is haunted by a host of fearful spirits, maybe you're consumed this morning with economic fears. What's going to happen to the economy? What's going to happen to my retirement? What's going to happen to, what if taxes go up again? What if my company downsizes, et cetera, et cetera? You may have economic fears. Maybe you overwhelmed with relational fears. You love your spouse, but he or she continues to disappoint you. Marriage isn't what you hoped it would be. Could you work things out? Maybe it's a friendship or something like that. If you're a parent or a grandparent, you shouldn't worry, but it's hard not to get anxious when you think about your children. What if they get mixed up with the wrong crowd? What decisions are they going to make? Anxiety. Another toxic thought that can come in, not only pessimism and anxiety, but discontent. Discontent pollutes our thinking with discontented and envious thoughts, many times because we compare. If you answered yes to my third question, do you find yourself always discontented, wishing life was different or better? You probably struggle with discontent. Even though most people alive today, especially in America, are more blessed than anybody in the rest of the world or in the history of the world, it's easy to be consumed with discontent. It's interesting that in the bounty of blessings that we take for granted each day, we still have dissatisfaction and discontent that pops up. Maybe it's your body or your appearance. Maybe it's you are discontented with being single and you're wanting to date somebody and you're going to push all your convictions and things aside so you can have that one that you can feel make you content. Or the list can go on. It could be, I wish my husband, my spouse was a better provider or a spiritual leader. Or I wish we had children or more children or different children. Or I wish we had a better car or more money or nicer clothes or better vacations or a bigger kitchen and a bigger house. Discontent. Here's a fourth negative thought, and that's criticism. That pumps destructive, judgmental thoughts into your minds. We talked about pessimism, anxiety, discontent, and then criticism. If you answered yes to my fourth question, are you occasionally or often critical, finding something wrong with a lot of people, places, or things, then you probably struggle with criticism. Perhaps without even knowing it, you find yourself criticizing anything and everything that crosses your path, and you don't even realize it. You can find fault with people, building companies, churches, today's lunch menu, or anything else you encounter. You meet somebody and you instantly think, I cannot believe she's dressed like that. Or maybe you look at somebody and you think critical thoughts. I'd never do that. Who does that person think they are? He's so full of himself. What a jerk. Or at work, you find your thoughts constantly drifting toward criticism. You know, this place is a zoo and way beneath what I should be working. The whole place will fall apart without me. Why do I stay here anyway? Or you walk into a church for the first time and you're looking for something to criticize. These people aren't friendly at all. The music's too loud. It's too traditional. It's too old-fashioned. It's too contemporary. It's too progressive. The pastor's too boring. The coffee in Sunday school is too weak. I could go on and on and on. Not just churches, but workplace, whatever. The idea is criticism, critical thoughts. Pessimism, anxiety, discontent, and criticism. All those things pollute your heart and your thinking. Any one of these thoughts can be deadly. They can imprison you. If we want to break free into the freedom of God's truth, we have got to begin by accurately diagnosing this problem. You cannot overcome a sin that you cannot identify. The root of most sins we commit outwardly are false beliefs we embrace inwardly. We have to identify and reject those negative, toxic thoughts that come through our mind each and every day. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Your thoughts determine who you become. If you consistently think negative and toxic thoughts, you're going to become a negative person. Your soul will stagnate. Your soul will wither. But if you think God's truth in your thoughts, what's going to happen? You're going to become more and more like Christ. Your soul will flow with living water and flourish. Most of life's battles are lost and won in your mind. Your mind's a battlefield. Your thoughts are either focused on what's true, eternal, life-changing, or lost in the details of the temporary, the selfish, and false beliefs. If you're a believer in Christ this morning, you're fully aware of the battle between your flesh, your earthly desires, and the Holy Spirit, your heavenly desires. And that battle many times is fought in your mind. Scripture makes it clear how we can control the battlefield. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, the wellspring of life. The challenge from this passage of Scripture today in our text is that we must remain vigilant against Satan's lies that threaten to corrupt our mind with negative thoughts. We have to know what we're fighting against. We got to know what we're fighting for and how to spot the enemy. The Apostle Paul here makes our strategy clear and concise in his teaching to the Corinthians. In the context of the passage I just read to you, the Apostle Paul was writing to a divided church, a carnal church, a church that was always resisting his authority as an apostle, a church that was being seduced by false teachers. In this section of the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul was challenging the rebellious people of the church, including the false teachers, challenging and enforcing his authority as an apostle. And understand, keep in mind here in this text that Paul's not defending himself personally. He was defending the ministry and his authority as an apostle. He was not involved with a personality contest with other preachers, other ministers. His enemies did not hesitate to accuse him falsely, nor did they hesitate to promote themselves. It was the worldly attitude of the Corinthians that forced Paul to defend himself by reminding them of his life and ministry. In chapter 10 here in verse 1 and 2, his accusers are accusing him of being courageous when he wrote, but being weak and timid when he was present. For the false teaching, the Judaizers were overbearing in their attitudes, and the people loved them. But when Paul founded this church, his attitude was to exalt Christ. His purpose was to exalt Christ and not himself. How ignorant these Christians were. They failed to realize that true spiritual power was in meekness and gentleness, not in, quote-unquote, throwing your weight around like some of the false teachers were doing. Paul's attitude in these opening verses disarmed his opponents. He was, in effect, warning them in a loving way, please don't force me to come and show how bold I can be. His answer is in verse 3 through 6, and our focus this morning, and it reveals what spiritual warfare is all about. Because the church in Corinth, led by the false teachers, judged Paul's ministry by the outward appearance, they completely missed the power that was there. They were evaluating things, quote unquote, by the flesh, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 2, and not according to the Spirit of God. Paul took a different approach, almost as if to throw back at them some of their words against them. The apostle stated he certainly did walk in the flesh, but he, in the sense that he lived as all human beings do. He grew tired. He was weary. He was hungry, like all men were. He needed food, clothing, and sheltering, just like anybody else. But he did not depend on the human, but the divine, the spiritual weapons promised by the Lord. His warfare, and he understood this, was not according to the flesh, but it was a spiritual warfare. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Ephesians 6, verse 10. You cannot fight spiritual battles with carnal weapons. Thus, in verse 3 and 4, we see our warfare. The battle we fight every day between our flesh and our spirit. He says, we walk in the flesh. We don't war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The word warfare here means campaign. Paul was not just fighting a little skirmish in Corinth. The attack of the enemy was there as a part of a larger campaign. The powers of hell have always have been trying to destroy the work of God until the Lord returns. Therefore, it's important that we not yield any ground to the enemy. He will use the world to distract us and the flesh to conflict us in the focal point of your mind. This is a war we must fight each and every day, but our weapons are not carnal. They're spiritual. As in verse 4, we look at our weapons. They are mighty through God because they're supplied by God. They're not carnal, physical, or fleshly. They're mighty, they're powerful, they're capable through God. As Christians, as believers, we have weapons stronger than knives and guns and grenades. We have faith, we have prayer, and we have the Word of God. Thus, in the last part of verse 4, we see the walls. We see the warfare, the weapons, and the walls. Strongholds. With those mighty weapons of God, He pulled down, He overpowered, He conquered, He destroyed spiritual strongholds. And we can do the same thing in our life with our toxic thoughts. Such fortresses are prisons for the minds of men. Since the gods of this world guard the bars that hold them, only our spiritual weapons are more effective than theirs, can set the captives free. Do you have any walls in your mind this morning that's a barrier for those toxic thoughts? Maybe pessimism, anxiety, discontent, criticism, or any other unbiblical philosophy that can pop in your mind, thrown by the lies of the enemy each and every day of your life. I struggle with that. I'm sure you struggle with that. And if we're not careful, it begins to build a wall there. Is it bombarding your mind this morning? Understand, as it concerns the focal point of your mind, the spiritual war will take place in your mind. The walls of resistance in the minds of the people. And these walls, like the walls of Jericho, must come down. Last week I talked to you about Joshua meeting his commander before he went against Jericho and the great walls with Jericho. There's an Old Testament analogy here with the walls of Jericho. They're intimidating. They hold those thoughts captive, and those walls must come down. But I can't knock those walls down in my own strength. I must have God's Spirit. I must have the Lord. Looking at verse 5, I want to answer the question this morning. How can I overcome the toxic thoughts that creep into my mind? Every day, every moment, toxic thoughts will creep in your mind. How can I overcome them? Just because they're in your mind does not mean they have to stay there. So how can I overcome them? There's a twofold strategy here in verse 5. And let's apply this twofold strategy that's brought out to us in the text that Paul used. Number one, here's the first part of the strategy. We have to tear down the walls those toxic thoughts create. Tear down the walls those toxic thoughts create. Well, what's he talking about? Well, he talks about the demolishing of strongholds there in verse 4. The word pulling down, casting down, that means demolition. We are to completely destroy the walls, the strongholds our flesh has in our mind and in our lives. That word stronghold can even be interpreted as a castle or to fortify. A literal meaning means a prisoner locked by deception. God wants us to use the weapons of the Word of God, of prayer, of faith, etc., to win the battle of your mind. That is why the Bible tells us to renew your mind, renovate your mind through the Word of God. The Word, renovate. We renovate not by moving furniture here and furniture here, but we have to knock down some walls, man. God's truth releases us from the prison of lies. Unfortunately, there's so many believers that are held captive by toxic lies, by negative thoughts. We hold the key, but in our minds, we lose sight because we lost the key in the junk drawer of our negative thoughts. Here's the demolishing of strongholds, the demolishing of imaginations. The idea of casting out arguments, the word imagination, arguments, computation, reasoning. Basically, it's saying how your mind is processing. Our minds are very good at imagining things that aren't really true. And our minds have a way of getting, the way our minds are wired, we can get ruts in it. When you're riding something on mud forever, it just gets a rut in there, and you got to get out of the rut for the rut to go away. When there's a stronghold, a castle, a big fortification, a big wall that blocks the true thoughts from coming in, it causes negative thoughts to come in. How about this? Tearing down the walls, demolishing strongholds, demolishing imaginations, demolishing high things. Look on. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's the idea of high thing, pretension that exalts itself. That can include reasonings that are opposed to the truth of the Word of God. Pride of intelligence that exalts itself. Paul is kind of attacking the belief in intellectualism, the high-minded attitude that makes people think they know more than they really do, which could cause false teaching in the church. All in all, we are to demolish how our mind is processing negatively so that we can begin to start processing positively the knowledge of God. Any thought that's not from the Lord, not from His Word, should be demolished, destroyed, and annihilated. So that's the first part of the strategy. Tear down. That's the second part. Take captive. Number two, take captive as prisoner those toxic thoughts. Take captive as prisoner. He says this, bring into captivity. Bring every thought into captivity. That is to take every one of those untrue thoughts, take them captive, capture them. He determined to bring all non-biblical teaching he encountered into captivity, all negative thoughts into captivity. He captured and led away prisoner of war every philosophical system, every negative thought, every untrue thing that entered his head that was contrary to Scripture. And after you take captive, you are not the thought's prisoner. The thought is your prisoner. And once you take that thought prisoner, you bring it under the obedience of Christ. The idea is being obedient to God's truth. All of Paul's conclusions on the great questions of life came into obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Instead of being prisoners of war, we take the untrue, negative, and toxic thoughts and make them obedient to God's truth. You can win this morning the game, the mind games on this battlefield of the mind. That's the battlefield. Tear down the walls and take captive the thoughts. That twofold strategy in verse 4 and 5. Once again, the Old Testament imagery. Joshua in the Battle of Jericho, the imagery there, the God tore the walls down. All they had to do was put themselves in obedience to Him. The walls came down and they took what was inside the walls captive. The picture here is a battle. There's a battle for your mind this morning. You take the spiritual weapons of faith, prayer, and the Word of God. Hey, let's go on even into Ephesians chapter 6 and the armor of God. Use that to demolish the strongholds that have deceived your minds, that have taken them prisoner. Demolish those negative thoughts and imagination. Take captive those thoughts. Make them once again obedient to the truth that comes from God. That is the major battle we face in life each and every day. It's all about a focus this morning. Your thoughts are either controlling you or you're controlling your thoughts. Let's take this a step further. Either your flesh or some outside source is controlling your thoughts, or the Holy Spirit is controlling your thoughts. Here's our takeaway. Verse 6. Learn to replace toxic thoughts with truthful thoughts. That's our takeaway. Replace toxic thoughts with truthful thoughts. We'll have tons of negative thoughts come in our mind. We'll have tons of positive thoughts come in our mind. You have to take those toxic thoughts captive, refocus yourself, replace them with truthful thoughts. When those negative, fearful, pessimistic, anxious, discontented, and critical thoughts pop into your mind, pop into your thought life, playing tricks on you, identify them. Take those thoughts prisoner. Replace those lies with truth. Philippians 4:8, Paul explains that whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there's any virtue, any praise, think on these things. When you think God's thoughts and meditate on them, He will guard your mind with peace. It may be a step-by-step process, but over time, the more you focus on the Lord and His Word and prayer, the more you get a dose of His Word each and every day, slowly but surely you'll be able to identify negative thoughts that creep into your mind that don't need to be there, and don't let your mind spiral from those negative thoughts. In closing, I once heard this illustration that there's a difference between two birds, a hummingbird and a vulture. Vultures soar high in the sky, looking and searching. What does a vulture search for? Dead things. The ugly, oversized vulture doesn't stop until he finds something dead, many times roadkill. Contrast the vulture to the tiny hummingbird. With wings flapping 20 beats a second, what's the small hummingbird find? Not dead things, but sweet, life-giving nectar. Each day, each bird finds what he's looking for. The same's true for you this morning. Either you're on a roadkill diet, looking for the dead things, things that you can criticize, things you can be pessimistic about, things that you can be negative about, or you're going to try to find nectar, something positive in every day. It's up to you, because you will find what you search for. You have to decide the destination of your mind. Do whatever it takes to get the trash out of your mind. You are what your mind feeds upon. Always renew your mind by feeding upon the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, spending time with Him, learning Him, knowing Him. Once those walls in your mind have been torn down, the door to your heart can be opened. We take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How about you? Are your thoughts geared to Him? Do you know Him as Savior? Has there ever been a time where you saw your need as a sinner and you saw what Christ did for you? If that's you this morning, I want to challenge you. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe there's something missing there. And maybe see yourself. We all come short of the glory of God. And it's only what Christ did on Calvary. Will you accept that free gift of salvation? If that's you, you're welcome on Facebook. Just message our Facebook page. One of our administrators would love to talk to you about salvation. If you are saved, if you know Christ, and maybe you're dealing with those toxic thoughts each and every day, take this challenge. Spend time with the Word. Identify those thoughts. Flag them. Replace them with good thoughts, with truth. It's a daily choice. Guard your heart and guard your mind. Like Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. How is it with your heart and how is it with your mind this morning? Let me close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for this challenge. Thank you for this encouragement. Lord, I don't know who this message was for, but I know after the last few weeks, there's a lot of people's minds are playing tricks on them. Lord, I pray that they would take this challenge that Paul gives us to to break down those walls with the Word and with the Spirit of God and to replace them with truth. Replace them with true thoughts. Lord, help our feelings. I love the fact we have feelings, but Lord, help us each and every day for our feelings not to deceive us, for our thoughts not to deceive us. Lord, help us to put everything in captivity to the obedience of Christ. Lord, I pray you be with each and every person listening and watching. I pray you be with them and their families. Until we meet again, we love you, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning in this morning. I hope you have a blessed Lord's Day and a great week. And we love you and hope you have a good day.